بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, tonight being the night of Jumu'ah, we'll try and keep it as short as possible, inshallah. In last night's Taraweeh Salah, we had spoken about, or we had recited Surah Ali Imran, and we had discussed the Battle of Uhud, which took place in Shawwal, in the third year after Hijrah. And as we had mentioned last night, the Battle of Uhud was a battle in which the Muslims sustained a great loss. 70 men from amongst the noble and blessed companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had become shaheed, had been martyred. And we can well imagine 70 men becoming shaheed from an army that constituted 1,000 in number. 7% of the army wiped out. The community in Madinah Munawwara was a very tight-knit, close-knit community, small in number. We can imagine the loss of 70 would have been such, or rather would have caused this entire community to become shaken, the foundations to become shaken. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah An-Nisa, which follows Surah Ali Imran, and which was revealed very close after the Battle of Uhud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses this in the opening verse of Surah An-Nisa. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسِ وَاحِدًا. Allah reminds the people of Medina Munawwara that you were created from one soul, from Adam alayhi salam. O people, have fear of your Rabb who created you from a single soul. وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. And then he created the spouse, meaning Hawa radiallahu anha, from Adam alayhi salam. وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. And Allah then caused many men and women to be created from the progeny of these two, who were the first human beings, who were regarded as the mother and father of humanity. Why is this brought in the opening verse of Surah An-Nisa? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the people of Madinah Munawwara that you are brothers and sisters of one another. In other words, those homes wherein there was a loss, where people had been martyred, and now they were widows, they were orphans, it is now your duty to look after them, to take care of them, to assist them, to lend them a helping hand wherever you can. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. Allah then says, fear Allah, that being in whose name you ask one another. And what is referred to here is that when a person would beg or would ask a favor from the next person, then he would use Allah's name. As we find in today's time also, a person says, give me something in the name of Allah. So Allah says, fear that Allah in whose name you ask one another for favors. والأرحام, and also be conscious regarding family ties. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. Allah is watchful over you. So this is in the opening verse of Surah An-Nisa. Allah reminds them that you should come together and assist one another, because you all originated from one father, from one mother, Nabi Adam and his wife Hawa radiallahu anha. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately addresses the issue of two minority groups in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and that was the orphans and the females. The orphans, we can imagine, now had increased in number after the Battle of Uhud, after these 70 had become shaheed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately advocates for the rights of the orphan. وَآتُوا الْيَتَامَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ. Allah says, make sure that you give the orphans their wealth. In other words, if you are a guardian of an orphan child, then ensure that you do not take his wealth and usurp it and use it for yourself. وَلَا تَتَبَدَّلُوا الْخَبِيثَ بِالطَّيِّبِ. Allah says, do not exchange or do not take that which is impure in exchange for that which is pure. And here Mufassirin have explained that in those days, the currency was dinars and dirhams, gold and silver coins. And the minting process was such that at times some coins would be defective, would not be of the best quality. A person can understand it more or less in today's time. If we take a Kruger Rand, and you have a Kruger Rand that has some factory defect, so of course the value will be slightly less as opposed to a coin that is perfect, that has been minted correctly. So what these people would do, if they would have an orphan that was in their care in the time of Jahiliyyah, then they would look into the wealth of this orphan, and all those coins that were of a good quality, that were the best quality, which belonged to the orphan, they would take it for themselves, and they would replace this with their own inferior quality coins. So in this way, although the number of coins remained the same, but they were shortchanging these orphans, and giving them coins that were not worth as much monetarily. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not take that which is impure in exchange for that which is pure. In other words, your own hard-earned wealth is pure. Allah has given it to you. And the wealth of the orphan is impure. It is khabith. It is not permissible for you to use and to consume. وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَمْوَالِكُمْ Do not take their wealth and add it to your wealth. إِنَّهُ كَانَ حُوبًا كَبِيرًا This is a very grave, a very serious sin. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the orphans. The second explanation of this verse, which Mufassirin have explained, is that at times what the people would do is they may not have been looking after any orphan, but they would seek those women in marriage who were orphans. In other words, that woman whose father had passed away, whose uncle had passed away, whose grandfather had passed away. So they would get married to women like this, with the intention being that if I do not fulfill her rights, then there is no men folk on her side to take care of her and to ensure that her rights are fulfilled. So again, Allah is saying, لَا تَتَبَدَّلُوا الْخَبِيثَ بِالطَّيِّبِ Do not take that which is impure in exchange for what is pure. They have given you themselves, they are pure, they are halal for you, and you are now infringing on their rights, you are not fulfilling their rights as your wives, so ensure that you fulfill their rights in the correct manner. You are not answerable to their guardians, but you are answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these two minority groups, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advocates for their rights, and thereafter, in very great detail towards the end of the fourth juz which we heard tonight, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then reveals ayatul mirath, the ayat pertaining to inheritance in very, very great and fine detail. In fact, Mufassirin explain that from all the injunctions of the Quran, that which has been revealed in the most detail is the verses of inheritance. If we look through the entire Quran, we will not find the number of salah to be performed. We will not find the number of rakats to be performed. We will not find the exact method of salah or the exact method of a sunnah, wudu or ghusl. But here we find every single law pertaining to mirath and inheritance has been mentioned clearly and directly in the Quran to highlight and to show to us the importance of inheritance. And again here we find inheritance of women has also been mentioned, that they will be allowed to inherit, they will be allowed to retain ownership or possession of the property and wealth that they had when they came into the marriage. Again, in the time of Jahiliyyah, this was not the case. In fact, some books of history have mentioned that women would form part of an estate. If a person would pass away, then his wife would be just like his property. Like how in today's time, a person's car, his home, his business, his belongings are distributed amongst his heirs, his wife would also be then given to some heir of his. Here, Shariat and Islam comes and gives women their rights, and clearly says that they will be allowed to inherit, and they are not inheritance. They cannot be inherited. They will have to be treated with utmost respect and dignity. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clearly is fighting the case of the woman. But then we find, as we move into the fifth juz, still as part of Surah An-Nisa, despite fighting the case of the woman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then very clearly outlines the role that a woman has to play and the role that a man has to play in society. And this is something extremely, extremely important, relevant in today's time. We find amidst the rise of feminism, of liberalism, where the entire world is now fighting for women to be equal to men. Here, Shariat very clearly defines their roles. الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ That men have been given authority over the woman. And we've mentioned this before. Of course, this does not mean that a man should abuse his authority, his power, and he should become oppressive, become a tyrant. But very clearly, when it comes to decision making, Allah is saying very clear that men have been placed in authority, placed in charge over the woman. And what is the reason for this? Two reasons Allah has given. بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ وَبِمَا أَنفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ Firstly, Allah says, because Allah has favored one gender over the other. This is the reason. It is Allah's decision. And secondly, بِمَا أَنفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ Because the men are responsible to spend on their wives financially. One alim was asked that this particular verse outwardly seems to be going against women. That it is now giving rights to the men and saying that they should be involved in the decision making and the women should be subservient to their husbands. Why did Allah put this verse in Surah An-Nisa? Where Allah is speaking about the woman, praising them, giving them their rights. Why did Allah bring this verse and put it here where outwardly it is against the woman? So very beautifully he answered and he said, that do not take this verse to be against a woman or detrimental to a woman in any way. Rather, Allah is giving her guarantee and glad tiding here that from the time of birth till demise, there will always be a man in charge of your finances, of your sustenance. You will not have to leave your home for a single day in your life. Of course, circumstances differ. But in an ideal situation, there will always be a man appointed by Sharia. It will be his legal obligation in an Islamic country to look after you financially. What a glad tiding. You can now dedicate yourself to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to bringing up your children, looking after your home, and you do not have to worry about putting food on the table. So rather than this being against the woman, it is giving them glad tiding and giving them peace of mind that they do not need to worry about their own sustenance. So various other masail and laws pertaining to women, their rights, the rights of the orphans, as we had mentioned. Just one more verse and we'll terminate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again as we mentioned, being Laylatul Jumu'ah, Allah speaks in great detail about Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. Just this one verse and a very amazing incident, Alama ibn Kathir rahimahullah has mentioned, and other mufassirin also have mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam and says, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. That when the people around you have oppressed themselves, in other words, when they have committed guna and sin, they have broken the command of Allah, why did they not come to you, O Nabi of Allah, and in your presence ask Allah to forgive them, and then ask you to seek forgiveness on their behalf? If they had done this, if they had come to you, they made istighfar, and they asked you to intercede in Allah's court on their behalf, لَوَجَدُ اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. Then they would find Allah to be most forgiving, most merciful. Under this verse, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah has mentioned, quoting from Atabi rahimahullah, who was a famous tabi'i, and according to some narrations, this incident took place very shortly after the demise of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Atabi rahimahullah says that I was seated in Al-Masjid al-Nabawi, close to the Rawda of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and I was overcome by sleep. I was tired, so I fell asleep. And in my sleep, or in this state between a wakeful state and a sleeping state, I perceived that there was a Bedouin who had come into the masjid, and he came forward to make salam to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And as he passed by the Rawda Mubarak, he then recited this particular verse, and he then called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that, O Allah, your command is that we should come in the presence of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. I have complied with your command. Your second command is that we should seek your forgiveness. I am now asking you to forgive my sins. And your third command is that we should ask Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to make istighfar for us. So he then addresses Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that, O Nabi of Allah, I am asking you to ask Allah to forgive me. And then he recites those beautiful couplets which we have heard so many times over and over again. And till today we will find on the Rawda, on those golden gates in front of the qabr of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, these couplets are inscribed. Ya khayra man dufinat bilqa'i a'zumuhu. He addresses Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and says, O the best of those beings whose bones have been buried beneath the ground. فَطَابَ مِن طِيبِهِنَّ الْقَاعُ وَالْأَكَمُ. By virtue of your Mubarak body going into the ground, the entire ground has now become fragranced and sweet. نَفْسِ الْفِدَى لِقَبَرٍ أَنْتَ سَاكِنُهُ. He says, may my soul be sacrificed for your grave in which you reside. فِيهِ الْعَفَافُ وَفِيهِ الْجُودُ وَالْكَرَمُ. In your grave with you resides your honor, your chastity, your generosity, your greatness. Saying this, he sends salam to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and he goes on. Atabi rahimahullah is there, he dozes off. And in his dream, he then hears Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam calling out to him and saying, O Atabi, go quickly and find this Bedouin and tell him Allah has forgiven his sins. By virtue of coming in front of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah has forgiven his sins. This incident, my dear brothers, there have been many, many incidents like this, which ulama have explained the virtue and the benefit of Durood Sharif. We do not have the opportunity. Allah give us all the opportunity of presenting ourselves before the Rawda of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But Laylatul Jumu'ah, this is the night of Durood Sharif. For us not to waste any time as we are walking, as we are leaving the masjid, as we are driving home, tomorrow when we are busy going to work, at work, we can keep a tasbih with us, even without a tasbih. As much Durood Sharif as we can. Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh at times would instruct his mureedin and followers just to recite Durood Sharif. This is it. Nothing else, no other dhikr, no other adhkar, no other wazifas, no other long tasbihs, just Durood Sharif alone, and they saw the difference in their lives. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.